Huntsville, good morning. Jack on to for Centrifuge.
Go ahead, Jack. Huntsville's with you.
Set up this morning, it had me make sure the centrifuge is on protocol 1, but in the actual centrifuge procedure, it says protocol 5. I just want to make sure whether you want protocol 1 or protocol 5.
Copy. And protocol 1 is correct. And while I have you, could you please just let us know either here or in a crew note the draw times from this morning?
Draw time was 6:52.
Copy, 6:52. Thank you. Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for any available crew and quick laptop troubleshooting.
Ground 2.
Hey, we just need some help with ELC 6 over there in lab overhead 4. Someone could just give it a hard power cycle, and then when it's powered back up, just close the lid.
Okay, copy. We'll get that work right now.
Copy. Thanks for the help.
Huntsville Station Jack's on 2 for ultrasound 3 connectivity.
Jack, we're with you on 2, and you have good connectivity in step 3.2.
Great news. Thanks very much. Huntsville Station Jack's on 2, looking for a go to close up ultrasound 3.
Jack, you are go in step 1 of the HRF power, power off.
Cool. Step 1 of ultrasound 3 power off. Thank you, Tammy, sir.
This is Station Sufian 2 for timeline.
G-Sense with you on 2, Toby.
Was looking for a go to start the Yudhavid change out for UTS backup Yudhavid swap procedure a little bit early if it's okay for you.
Sophie, you are go to get started.
Go to get started, thanks. And for Sophie and 2 for Yudhavid.
We're with you on 2.
The backup Yudhavid that I'm about to install is here in the vault 1457, 1457.
Copy, 1457. Good number.
Oops.
Phoenix Station on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and E4D at your convenience.
Right on 2 for Chris.
Good morning, Chris. As usual, we're getting ready for your E4D activity, and before coming on board, we'd like your permission to activate the VC2 starboard camera and come on board.
You have my permission to activate VCA2, and you can come on board with that as well as the call camcorder. I've got them both in position, and I'm just starting to get things set up.
Good copy. Many thanks. Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and E4D.
Chris is with you on 2.
Hi, Chris. We have now confirmed that we have routed the video of both the camcorder and the VCA2. We would appreciate if you could pan the VCA2 towards the VIS slightly, and you will have also already enabled on Space to Ground 3 your exercise specialists, and Patrick will be there with you.
Okay, copy. And then where on the VIS would you like VCA2 to look at, like one of the sides or just the center or anything specific?
And your little adjustment already did the trick, and the team is happy with the view. Thanks.
Sounds good. Heading over to Space to Ground 3.
Munich, copy. Have a good workout.
Here is Station Sophie on 2 for backup Yudhavid.
With you on 2, Sophie.
Also, I just wanted to report that on the new one backup Yudhavid that I installed, the 1457, I found that all of the caps were uncapped, and I understand from the procedure that was not nominal. So I checked everything, and all the connections, like all of them, yeah, everything looks nominal despite the caps being uncapped. And right now, we have the backup UDV compressor hose, which is connected to Pabacha da Vienna, and the other toilet UDV adapter is also well connected. And so I recapped as well the ceiling level indicator, which was not supposed to be uncapped, the Ukazatio something like this.
Sophie, we copy all. Thank you very much for the report. It does sound like what you've reported to us now is in a nominal config. Did you notice any fluid anywhere on the Yerebe?
No fluid nowhere.
Thanks for the report. No additional questions or deltas from us.
Okay, I have just one additional question for you, and I was wondering if, because the one that I just removed, 1318, has to go to Note 3 port and phone. Do you have a CTD number for that?
Checking.
He's with station on 2 first, so it's...
What do you want to do, Jess?
Just a couple questions. Jack and my, our strategy is kind of going around to the different modules and seeing, you know, what needs immediate attention. As we mentioned, Jim is the least of our worries. So we are starting in the airlock and just kind of looking at where things stand right now, given our upcoming activities. And I was looking at my activity for later today for the EMU HUT or URNR, and I'm not sure if we missed something or maybe there's just some miscommunication, but it says that the extra large HUT that we will be using for the swap today is in a cushion in the airlock, and it definitely is not. We looked at IMS, and IMS also says it's in the airlock, and we believe it's still PMM, but we just wanted to make sure that we were in sync with you guys on that.
We're checking.
Okay, thank you. Another thing to check on, last week we had called down when we were doing some activities and replacing some of the med packs, and we had another old convenience med pack that was not included, but it was to have expired meds, so we were told it was also being sent back to the ground. It's just been temp stowed right now because we were waiting for a location. My assumption is it's going to go in a SpaceX return bag with the other med packs that are returning that were called out in Node 2, but we just wanted to check on that as well as the eye testing items for 73F and Crew 10. There's a bag of that found, and I'm believing that, I believe that's trash, but just wanted to see if you guys had any follow-up on those two items from last week. Cindy, the serial number for that convenience med pack was 1027.
Pretty sure you're listening to the flight loop down here. Thanks. Copy 1027.
Just all that time on console learning from great Calcoms like you that, you know, I'm just right in sync.
One quick follow-up, is there a separate or different serial number on that Ziploc on the MedPack?
Yeah, the Ziploc is not part of the convenience MedPack. It was just in there separately, and it is ISS Medical Accessory Kit, serial number 1842-1842, Flight Crew 10, Crew Specific. It looks like they're eye testing items, so I'm assuming that just really should have been trashed.
Copy all. We are suspecting trash as well, but we'll double check.
Okay, thanks.
Station Houston, space to ground 2 for Sophie.
Still
and Yerebe
station,
location.
Station Houston, 2 for a question. Yeah, Sophie's listening.
Okay, following up on your Yerebe location, we do not nominally stow those inside CTVs. The intention is just to place it in the Node 3 port end cone.
Okay, so I just also had the information from my crewmates. Apparently there is one CTV, which is a 6.0 CTV, 5042. It had been mentioned in crewness earlier, so probably those were not downlinked, I don't know. But so all of those Yerebe instead of being loose in Note 3 end cone, which is not easy for us, we have them in 6.0 CTV 5042.
Okay, we copy all. Thank you for that information, and no issue from us.
You're very welcome. And so, station Sophie and 2 for WASP.
We're with you on 2. Sophie, go ahead.
I was wondering if I could start the activity that is supposed to be in Chris' timeline. I coordinated with him and start to do the hatch opening for WASP and installing the IFAC shield.
Standby checking.
Thank you.
Station Munich on space to ground 2 for Sophie and Astro by Worf open.
Munich station standby 1. Houston Sophie on 2 for WT.
Go ahead on 2.
pre-treat that quells light that has lit. I wanted to have your go to perform the block N.
Your go.
Okay, copy, go. Listen from Sophie, good news. Pre-treat that quell disappeared, and not even a single manual dose was put, just the fact of opening the valve and waiting and closing, it went back to nominal.
Great news. Houston copies.
Phoenix station Sophian 2 for Wharf and Astropy.
Bonjour, bonjour Sophie. Munich is with you on 2, and we're happy you're picking the activity, and the team is ready whenever you are to start it.
Copy. So starting the activity, and I will probably will not be able to perform the two activities back-to-back because of the ESAC group conference, but I'll start, and then we'll see where I am.
And Munich, copy. No worries. If you decide to stop in between the activity, we'd appreciate if you close the curtain behind the astrobot.
Three copies, and I will pick up wherever I left after the crew conference, so that's, and of course crew is aware, and the cover will be installed, so no worries.
Copies all. Many thanks.
Station Houston, space on 2 for Jessica, and extra large HUD location.
HUD on 2.
Hey, we were expecting that HUD to be in the airlock per our tracking product. However, if it's not, our next best location for you would be PMM port 4.
Okay, PMM port 4, that makes sense to us. It's probably still there. Not sure when. It's weird that it would have been tracked elsewhere because we've never used that one. But we will get it from there for the activity. Probably will just take a little bit longer to do that stowage, but Jack and I might be able to get ahead of it now.
Understand all.
And we started off our stowage management activity in the airlock. We fixed some of the stuff, just put things into a better config in the overhead area in the airlock to make things a little bit, give us a little bit more room to work in there. And we're moving on to other modules now.
Houston copies.
Munich station, Sophie and 2 for AstroPi.
Go ahead, Sophie. Munich is with you and 2.
So on the next activity, step number 3 in the AstroPi Vis in the Wharf, step number 3 says pull to remove SD card from the main micro SD card slot, not from external card reader of AstroPi Vis. So this is unclear to me, and so I went to check the reference procedure and looking for pictures, and I don't really see a picture that has the exact wording. The only picture I see is figure 3, and it says USB micro SD card reader. And this is actually the only card reader that I see, so I'd like you to confirm that it's the correct one. And meaning from Sophie, while you are figuring the answer, I'm going to go to the ESAC group conference, and I'll get back to you as soon as I'm done with this. And meanwhile, I will close the cover of the wharf so that everyone knows we cannot access it right now.
And Munich copies all, and we just want to clarify that you mean the curtain and not the hatch, and we'll be ready with an answer regarding the SD card when you come back.
Unit from Sophia, I confirm that's just the curtain and not the hatch so that you can work on the Wi-Fi. But right now, I already removed the power.
Unit copies, no issues.
Munich from Sophia on 2 for AstroPi.
And Munich is back with you on 2.
And I'm back with you on 2 as well. So, yeah, ESAC conference is finished, so I'm happy to have your words for the picture, and if the card reader that I had identified was the right one.
And sure, we're ready for you with some words. So we would greatly appreciate if you could swap the SD card from the micro SD card slot on the AstroPi Buddy itself, so not from any peripheral. And the reference stock picture is available for you in step 5.1 of the attached reference procedure. I'll copy.
I understand the reference picture is in step 5.1 of the attached reference procedure. And so, let me check on the, and I'll get back to you.
Munich copy, and we'll be standing by.
Munich, Chris on 2 for E4D. Just wanted to double check on step 23.1 whether you wanted me to power down the E4D exercise unit or to leave it powered on.
And Chris, Munich is with you on 2, and we would appreciate if you would power down the E4D.
Copy that. I will power down E4D. Thank you.
Munich copy. Many thanks.
Munich from Sophie with good news. Positive ID on this micro SD card, and it has number 14 on it. So I'm going to do the swap and proceed.
Munich copy. We like all the good news today.
From Sophie on 2 for AstroPy.
Go ahead on 2.
For the AstroPy Vis IR, sorry, that is in Columbus, after reconnecting the USB-C charger, standby 1, now I see the green-blue pattern on the LED matrix. So all nominal, sorry for the call for nothing.
Good to hear. Always happy to hear from you.
Munich from Sophie on 2 for AstroPy.
And Munich is with you on 2.
So that's procedure complete, and all nominal on my side. AstroPy in the wharf has SD card number 1313.
We copy all. Sounds great. Many thanks for your help today.
You're welcome. Houston Station on 2 for stowage management.
With you on 2.
Stephanie, we are wrapped up with the stowage management. I did just want to point out that I did kind of save and resave that crew note several times, so the latest version of the crew note to use for that was just saved at 1229.
Copy. We'll take a look.
All right. Thank you. Houston Station on 2 for SSC 400.
Great to hear your voice, Jessica. Ready to copy for SSC 4.
Yeah, I was just wondering if I could do that activity early, and it is great to be talking to you as well. Awesome to have you guys on console.
And trying to get ahead, and yeah, you're go to start the FSC4 activity.
Okay, and Raja, I'm going to go get something that I want to show you first in the camera. So I think you guys are seeing it in the live camera now. I'll be right back.
I've got a good view.
I'll be right back while I gather my supplies for the hard drive.
Copy. We'll be here.
All right, Raja, I know you've got a lot of experience up here, so I thought maybe you could help me with this hard drive swap. I had a lot of stuff to get. I had to get my hard drive and also a screwdriver. So with all of those items together, I figured that, you know, do you think that this will help?
Joy, and you could not be more better prepared than you are with all those pockets.
I'll tell you how long we've been waiting for this moment. We are very excited to be talking to you, and then, you know, you can go back to your job of figuring out how to get us to land on the moon.
I'm just so glad that wasn't stored with the KTOs. I'm glad to see it it still exists.
Oh, we were very pleasantly surprised when we found it in the turtle hand-down bag.
Oh, this made my day. Thanks for sharing, and good luck with SSCs.
Thanks, I know. It's a tough task. Houston Station on 2 for SSC4. Raja, the apron powered me through, and I am at the select load image server on SSC4, so sounds like it's ready for Pluto to load it.
Appreciate the work, and Pluto will take it from here, and I'm glad the apron helped make it all work.
Always. We'll see just what it gets up to during the rest of the expedition. Stay tuned.
We're all waiting with bated breath out here.
Hit the station on Jack on 2 for Seed Digger.
And Jack, go ahead on 2 with you. Go ahead.
I've got the Seed Digger bag out of the CTB, and I'm getting ready for the PR photos in Columbus. And I just want to confirm it. It's currently wrapped up. You can't really see the foil bags at all. It's wrapped up in plastic and covered in Kapton tape. And this is how, you want me to take a picture like this, or am I taking the Kapton and the plastic tape off and taking the foil bags out?
And Jack, we'll hand you to Cole Flight for the answer to that question.
And this is Munich, yeah, so the box can stay as it is, actually, and can be deployed like this.
Stephanie, thanks, Munich, appreciate it.
Yes, and Chris on 2 for...
Go ahead on two. I couldn't catch the topic you were talking about, though.
Yeah, it's for some RJ45 couplers. I put a crew note in. I found them floating yesterday. I'm pretty sure I know where they came from. I was doing a task in a networking task in Node 2 overhead 4, and I think two of them must have floated out. We found them on the vents yesterday. I put a crew note in about it, and then morning DPC, you guys let me know that you were working on a solution for them, and I just wanted to double-check if I should stick them back in the bag in Node 2 overhead 4, or if you wanted me to put them somewhere else. I've got a couple moments, so I figured I would try to take care of it.
Great. Thanks for checking, Chris. I'm just grabbing the location. We'll call it up here shortly.
Thanks, Cameron.
All right, Chris, we've got a location if you're ready to copy.
Need to copy.
Go in a half CTV 4029, and that half CTV is in node 1, deck 4, the kilo 1 locker, and inside the CTV there's going to be a Ziploc bag labeled RJ45 couplers, or RJ45, and they can go in there.
Copy that. Half CTV 4025, node 1, deck 4, kilo 1, Ziploc RJ45. I'll put both of those in there. Thank you kindly.
And the CTV serial number is 4029. That's it.
4029, thank you very much. Houston, Chris on 2 for RJ45 couplers.
On 2 for RJ45.
Yeah, there was no Ziploc of RJ45 couplers in that 0.54029. I found one loose RJ45 coupler just kind of floating in that CTV, but no Ziploc bag of them.
And checking, Chris.
I'm good. Happy to create one and put these three in it, but figured you guys might be tracking something different.
All right, you're thinking the same thing we were. We will make it so. So, yeah, you can get a new Ziploc bag, label it RJ45, and put all three in that one.
Sounds good.
And Station Houston on to Jessica. I can see you're starting to get ready for the PAO event. Just to give you a heads up, we'll be uplinking the questions via VC, and it's probably been a while since you guys have used that, so just wanted to give you a heads up that you might want to log in and get that running just to make sure we don't have any issues with it.
Yeah, we also have the questions on the timeline, but we did want to bring up the view per the note. I am logged in now, and I was just about to dial, but it's asking me for some, on this SS, I'm on SSC15, and it's asking me for some camera info.
And Station Houston on 2, no response required, but once you are back in the airlock, we've got a few scene change notes for you.
Go for airlock.
Yeah, if we could have you remove the covers off the EMU helmets, and then did you guys get the VC sorted out? And then one other question, yeah, and then that LED light, it adds a little glare to your faces, so it's probably better with the LED light off.
Okay, I'll remove the helmet covers. On VMA TV, we see NASA live event starts soon, so it looks like it's streaming normally. I'll be over in a second. And LED light is either too bright, we'll move it back or turn it off. When we did this the other day, the faces were pretty dark without it, but we'll try something else.
I think where you've got it now is fine. We'll see once the helmet covers are off if that changes anything.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Veggie.
Veggie.
We're with you on 2 for Veggie, Chris. And you are ready. You have a go if you'd like to get started early.
I would love to get started early. Yeah, I got everything prepped, and I will go into it. I've got the Columbus camera on, and you're welcome on board with it.
Awesome. I'll let you know if we have a good field of view.
And Station Houston on 2 for the PAO event. The scene looks good. That lighting, it looks good. And if you could get a 10 count on the mic as well.
This is what I have to live with.
And Station Houston on 2, we're not hearing anything from the handheld.
This is check. Failed to turn the mic on. Let's try it again.
All right. I think we've got good scene and voice, and copy the reference.
You guys have any preference whether we're both upright or we're in opposite positions?
All right. Look, we like the split ops there.
All right. Split ops it is.
And station. This is Houston on Space to Ground 2. Are you ready for the event?
We are ready for the event.
Houston ACR, this is Mission Control. Houston, please call
Houston
station
ACR,
for a voice check.
This is Mission Control. Houston, please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is Houston ACR. How do you hear me?
Station, this is Houston ACR. How do you hear me?
Station ACR, we have you loud and clear. How us?
We hear you loud and clear. Thank you. Please stand by for opening remarks.
Thank you. Please stand by for opening remarks.
Hey everyone, welcome. This event is hosted by the University of Missouri Pre-Employment Transition Services Program, supporting students as they prepare for careers and independent living. We're excited to kick things off with you today. Let's jump into our first question.
Hi, my name is Casey, and my question is, what is the temperature span in space, and are there any seasons?
The temperature in space is a little bit variable, but it's always quite extreme. It depends on things like how close you are to stars. But here in low Earth orbit, in the environment of the International Space Station, it varies from about negative 250 degrees Fahrenheit when you're in the shade, so when the sun is not shining, to about positive 250 degrees Fahrenheit when you are in the sunlight. So pretty big range there. We don't have seasons in space because the seasons that you're familiar with on Earth, those are actually not really that subject to the shifting light and day throughout the workday. And we have something on the space station that can help shift our circadian rhythms. We have these lights like you see shining on us here in the airlock. We can set those at different intensities to sort of mimic those normal circadian rhythm patterns that we have on Earth to help our systems and make sure that we can still fall asleep when it's nighttime. But actually, most people don't really have that big problems with circadian rhythms. It could have some effect on some of the other things we see physiologically, like disruptions to our immune system, however.
Hi, I am Emmy, and my question is, if you had an empty jar and you opened it up out in space, what would it do? Would there be any effects to the jar, or would it be the same?
Hi, Jimmy. That's a really cool question. I guess it kind of depends on what's in the jar to begin with, and what the jar is made of. In the vacuum of space, if there's air inside the jar before you opened it, all that air pressure inside the jar would be pushing on the sides of the jar and the lid, trying to get out and equalize the pressure against the vacuum of space. So if the jar was strong enough, it would just float there and it would contain the air. But if the jar wasn't strong enough, maybe it could fail and all the air could escape outside. And if it was strong enough and you just started to loosen up the lid, that air would want to escape. And that pressure differential would push on that lid, probably making it a little bit hard to open. But eventually it opened enough that it would just come shooting off and all that air inside would run out. So if there was no air in the jar to begin with, it would just be the same. It would be easy to open the jar and nothing would really happen and the jar would kind of float around. So I guess it kind of depends on where you filled that jar up at the very beginning.
Hi, my name is Isabella. My question is, can you see storm cities or landmarks from the International Space Station?
We absolutely can. We have such an incredible view from those windows that I was speaking about earlier, and we can see storms. I love seeing lightning storms from up here because you see a totally different vantage point. You're looking down on those thunderclouds, and you see these really big, bright flashes, and you see how big of an area these thunderstorms can cover. At nighttime, when you go over to the cupola and look out, you can distinctly see all of the cities, especially the big cities, because of all of the lights. We like to do a lot of photography through those windows, whether it's day or night. You can see all the differences in the mountains and the snow cover and the forest area. The perspective up here is really breathtaking because you have this perspective that's shifted so far away from the views that we normally have on Earth, and it is absolutely stunning.
Hi, my name is Laura. My question is, what is your job down here on Earth?
Hi, Hi, Lauren. Thanks for the question. Whether we're up in space or down on Earth, we're both astronauts, and so we work in that. We train to come in space when we're on Earth, and we work up in space when we're up here. And that job is pretty diverse. We do everything from fly T-38s to train on the space station systems, to learn how to do medical procedures and other sorts of science experiments that we have to do while we're up here. We also develop new vehicles for the future of space travel. So there's all sorts of interesting things that we get involved with. And one of the neat things is it doesn't really matter what your background is. Whether you come to NASA as an engineer, a scientist, or a pilot, you can get into all of these types of things as an astronaut and kind of learn across the breadth of all the activities that humanity needs to.
I first started saying I wanted to be an astronaut, and I just never stopped saying it. I think maybe because I had this innate curiosity about the world around me, especially nature. I became a biologist, and I grew up in a small town in Maine with lots of trees. My mother was from Sweden, and she really encouraged us to be out in nature and explore, and I had an incredible view of the stars. So something about all of those things combined, I think, must have ignited that passion, and I never said anything else since.
Hello, International Space Station. My name is Caleb. My question is, what does a typical day aboard the International Space Station look like, and how does it compare to the training you performed on Earth?
Hi, Caleb. It's nice to hear from you. Our typical day on the International Space Station starts at 7:30 in the morning and ends at around 7:30 in the evening. We start and end our day with a planning conference with the ground control teams because you can't do anything on the space station with the tens of thousands of people that support us around the world, both in developing the science and experiments that we do and keeping the systems operational here on the space station. So we spend our days partially doing science experiments and partially doing maintenance. Humans have lived up here on the International Space Station for over 25 years now. So we've got a lot of equipment that we need to keep updated and maintained, and there's no plumbers or electricians on call. It's got to be us that does all the work in concert with all the large ground teams that are supporting us from the various control centers around the world. So we spend our day going from task to task, switching around, sometimes doing science and sometimes doing maintenance. And hopefully there's those days that we get to do spacewalks too.
Hi, my name is Megan. My question is, what are some of the most complicated repairs on a space station, and how do you fix them in simple terms? Thank you.
I think some of the most complicated repairs that we do are what Jack just mentioned when we're doing spacewalks. Everything becomes more complicated when you're working in the vacuum of space and you have to do all of the work in these spacesuits where you're pressurized and you have a lot of mass, you lose your dexterity in your hands with these cumbersome gloves on. And so when we go out there to do repairs, they're really important and they can be quite difficult. Spacewalks are the most challenging and riskiest thing that we do, but they're also a lot of fun. So we really look forward to them and the repairs that we do out there. Inside the space station, one of the more complicated pieces of equipment, if you believe it or not, is actually the toilet. So we do a lot of maintenance to that because, of course, that's incredibly important to keep on running.
Hi, my name is Darren. My question is, how is medical care provided to scientists living on the International Space Station?
Hi, Darren. We provide medical care to each other, really. Sometimes we have a medical doctor on the crew, but often we don't. We just have people with various types of medical experience in their background. And we also have quite a bit of medical training that we receive while we're training to come up and be a part of an expedition to the International Space Station. We're also supported by incredible teams of doctors and nurses and medical technicians on the ground that can write procedures for us and tell us which medicines we need to give and how we need to give it or what type of procedure that we need to do. We actually do quite a bit of research on humans while we're up here, from ultrasounds to blood draws, to kind of figure out how the human body operates in microgravity, because there's still pieces of it that we don't fully understand. So between all that medical training and expertise, we feel like we're pretty well taken care of while we're up here.
Hi, my name is Nico. My question is, what type of
come back, you're kind of like a drunken sailor wandering around a little bit. The neurovestibular system, our inner ears and our systems that we rely on for our balance and our spatial awareness, really go a little bit haywire when we come up and go down because they are dependent on gravity. And so they kind of their function is significantly altered in, up here in microgravity. And then when we come back down to Earth again and it's subjected to gravity once again, things go a little bit haywire. So I didn't feel great when I first came back. I mean, relatively, I felt okay, but you feel tired, and then, you know, after a couple days, you're walking normally again, and then it takes a little bit longer to run again, more of a complex motor neuron interaction there, and I had some lingering back pain for many months. When I would get up off the couch or something, I would feel really, really stiff, because, you know, your body, all these muscles are just not used to those postures after you've been in space for so long. I had a saying when I came back, and it was, gravity is overrated.
Hi, my name is Logan. My question is if you could have anything engineered to make your life better on the space station, what would it be?
Hi, Logan. That's an interesting question. There's lots of things that could make our lives a little better, but one of the big challenges on a day-to-day life here is the absence of running water. It's hard to wash your hands. It's hard to take a shower because we can't just have water like we normally do in a shower or sink back home. So if you can invent a way for us to step into a room to have running water for a little bit of time frame, that would be awesome, and I would support that here on the International Space Station.
Hi, my name is Braden, and my question is that I want to be a welder. How does welding work in space?
Here in space, there's actually an interesting phenomenon called cold welding, and in the vacuum of space, cold, clean metal surfaces will actually instantly bond together even without heat. So this is something that, of course, doesn't happen on Earth, and it actually caused a problem with some of the early satellites. When we were developing and sending up our first satellites, engineers hadn't really predicted this, and of course, it could cause a problem with different components of satellites. Welding, the actual process of welding, has only been done about three times in space, once in the late 60s by Soviet cosmonauts, in the 70s on an American space station, and then only one time in the open environment of space, in the vacuum of space, and that was in 1984 by some Russian cosmonauts again. We haven't done any welding since then. So it would be really interesting if you have any ideas of experiments that we can conduct, because we have done some experiments up here on the space station to look at materials and some relevant properties, but we haven't actually done any actual welding here on the space station.
Hi, my name is
Everything just floats like this. So sometimes that's a lot of fun because I can just hold a microphone like this, or I can, you know, pass an M&M to Jack from across the module. But it also does make things more difficult because it's very different for our brains to in those first few weeks to learn how to operate effectively. In gravity, you're always on Earth with gravity, you're used to just putting something down on the table. You're used to navigating around because everything is relative to down. Right and left is relative to down because of the force of gravity. Up here, when you first arrive, when you put things down, you tend to lose them all the time because I have a drink of my water and then I put it down over here, but then I spin around and my head's up where Jax is, and then I put my water over there, over here, over here. We have so many different surfaces, and as you can see, stuff everywhere. So just learning to work in that kind of environment is a little bit challenging and makes some everyday things a little bit more difficult.
Hi, my name is Ben. My question is, are animals allowed on the International Space Station?
We don't have pets up here on the International Space Station at all. I mean, it could be fun, though. We've had some animal experiments while we've been up here that we use to learn more about physiology and biology that we can translate into our understanding of how the human body works. But someday humanity is going to live up here permanently in a way that we can have our normal things on life, like our favorite cats and dogs and other pets.
Thank you to our astronauts on the International Space Station for sharing your time, stories, and insights today. This has been an unforgettable experience, and we hope it inspired everyone to think differently about what's possible and how STEM can shape our futures. On behalf of the University of Missouri Pre-Employment Transition Services Program, thank you to all the students, teachers, families, and community members who joined us for the downlink.
Thank you so much. It was really wonderful seeing your faces here today and bringing you up to the space station with us for a bit of an adventure. Thank you for the great questions, and we wish you the best of luck.
Station, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes our event.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Station, Jack on 2 for SSC.
Hey, Jack, thanks for calling back. We just need a quick, some quick help on the SSC-4. That's the one Jessica worked on earlier today. Even though she swapped the hard drive, we're having some issues with the internal drive. And so to fix that, we need you to run a procedure, and I'll give you that when you're ready to copy.
Ready to copy procedure.
4.2.103, and then it's the XTP version 23798 X-ray. So again, 4.2.103 XTP 23798 X-ray, and you'll basically run that and just use SSC4 instead of SSC10 in there.
All right, 4.2.103 XTP 23798 X-ray, and I'll be doing that on SSC4.
Copy, thanks.
Stand station, Jack on 2 for SSC4.
On 2, Jack.
The select load image server menu has appeared. Your go to load the serve.
Awesome. Thanks for the help. We'll take it from here and enjoy your workout.
Got it, sir.
Houston, airlock on 2. I've got the node 1 and airlock cameras on if you want to come on board.
All right. Thanks, Jessica. We're on board and the views look good.
Houston, airlock on 2.
Go ahead on 2.
Roger, I think I'm going to come back to this one arm sizing ring later. The arms and the left side sizing ring came up really normal, but this sizing ring is for some reason. I know we had this on one of the other ones, on one of our suit fits before, where the locks just really wants to, it's really difficult to get to open.
Yeah, you're coming through a bit broken, Jessica, but I think you're asking about the lock rings, the words from down here, the trick of trying to use two fingers to immobilize one and then spin it with the other hand?
I know the trick. It works really easily on both arms and also on the left side, but on the right side, the lock doesn't seem to be coming down all the way. We have this on one of the other ones, too, where it's like tending toward the locked position, which is, of course, the safer position, but was really difficult to get into the position.
I couldn't quite hear you the first time I got it that time, so the locking tab is not coming out like as easily as the other ones. Let's talk about it here. And Jessica, no response required, but one option is you can move on from that, wait until Sophie's available later to help and see if having two people may help or in terms of restraining it, and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, sure thing. Good plan.
It's been station on 2 for the airlock. No response required. Teamwork does make the dream work. Nice job, guys.
It so does. That one required a little bit of extra three-handed operation, but I found a third hand.
Yeah, well, you missed that. I saw the apron float by in the background. That probably helped, too.
Airlock on 2.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, Roger, one thing to be thinking about for later when I think you can see it in this camera probably, when I untucked this piece of TMG, the one that's around the pressure gauge, when I pulled that up, there was one little stitch that was around the bottom here, holding the bottom in place, and it just tore right off. So I noticed in the video the bottom stayed in place, and this one no longer had the stitch or anything, so we might just want to think about if we need to secure that in the future.
Okay, copy. Thanks for the report, Jessica. We could see in the video if now or at some future point when you've got a break, if you can also get a static photo of that to downlink for us, and we'll start thinking about what we do in the future. And station Houston on 2 for big picture timeline words, Chris, when you've got a chance.
And Chris is with you on 2. We were chatting that. I looks like I'll have some free time, and I think Sophie, her IV gen thing took a little bit longer, so I think we were thinking that maybe I would just, I think I should be able to get my Sable thing done shortly and then help Jessica.
Yep, we were also planning on potentially having you pick up the activities that Sophie had on her timeline earlier today at the 1500, the SSC, and the UP activities, if you could do those. And we've got a few small ISO tasks to deal with some notes you guys had put up before that we could have you clean up. I think for now, keeping you in there to help with the airlock works until Sophie shows up, and then we can pass those activities to you then when you're ready.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm happy. I think Jessica is cruising, so I'm happy to knock out those. I'll check in with Sophie, but I'm happy to take care of that SSC-23 and the EPA tasks, and then we'll be checking in and see where we're at.
Sounds good, Chris. It's a crew preference for you guys to sort out this, who you'd rather have in the airlock helping out Jessica. So if you're on a roll, you can stay there, but you wouldn't. So if you can work it out, and we'll pass on to whoever to get the other tasks.
Yeah. I think we'll. I'll knock out those first ones, and we'll just see where we're at, and we'll keep some flexing. Thanks.
Airlock on 2 for water question.
Go ahead on 2 for water question.
There's quite a bit. I mean, not. There's a lot of drops on the interfaces, so I think like I'd have to be blotting here for a long time and kind of get it into the little interfaces to get it all. Is the idea to get it really dry before putting those covers on, or can there still be a little bit of water present?
We're checking on that.
I've basically saturated 3 pieces of lint-free paper already.
Jessica, the word we're getting is just no large blobs of water, so whatever you're able to clean up, it doesn't have to be completely dry.
Okay, copy.
Also, don't have to go into the ports, just making sure the external top parts of the surfaces are.
Houston, Chris on 2 for SSC-23 relocate. Big picture question.
Go ahead on 2, Chris.
Yeah, looks like I'm going to be relocating the student called me for relocating the inverter as well as the little GSPI pigtail from power brick as well as the inverter, the power brick and the GSPI pigtail from one inverter to another. This first inverter that I'm taking it off of, the GSPI pigtail is really well zip tied in, and I'm going to have to cut it off. I was just wondering if we're planning on plugging a GSPI into that Juliet 4 again anytime soon, because if so, it might make sense to leave the GSPI pigtail there and just grab a new one for the next power chain.
That's a good question and a good idea, though the incoming payload will also need to have that GFCI, so yeah, we'll take your suggestion.
Copy. I'll just grab another GFCI from the, I believe it's Node 1, Deck 4, Kilo 1, and set that up on 1020 on the other inverter and let you know if that works for you.
That works for us, Chris, and if you could just include the serial number of the GFCI one you pull out in the crew note or call it down.
Okay. Thank you.
Can airlock on 2.
Go ahead for the airlock.
Roger, I'm not sure what I'm missing here, but for the HUT to DCM cover, I've got the DCM cover screwed on, but the HUT side that fits on there, of course, and says HUT side on it, it doesn't have screws. So how's that supposed to stay on? The procedure says screw them both on, but there's no screws on the HUT side.
Screws on the HUT side, we're just checking the procedure and get an answer to you.
Okay, copy.
The screws on the HUT side should be inside the HUT, so it should be on the, you'll have to reach inside the HUT side.
We'll copy just the ones that were, the captive ones that were removed to hold it. Okay, I thought there were supposed to be ones for the cover itself. That makes sense?
Station Houston on 2 for airlock. Jessica, now that you've got that removed, if you're able to show us that stitching area in the video camera, that might help us get a better answer to your question earlier and what we do later.
Good thing, Roger. I can float it over to the camera, but do you want me to put these interfaces on first, covers?
Yeah, keep working on what you're doing. We're just saying now that you've got stuff loose, when you get a chance, you can do that. But yeah, absolutely keep taking care of what you've got right now.
It's an airlock on 2. Raja, there is a little bit of black residue when I dab with the water. The liquid wipe's not coming away completely clean. There's a little bit of black-gray residue on it.
Okay, copy. You're getting a little bit of black-gray residue as you're dabbing up the water. Can you describe like relative size, or either get photos of what's showing up on the cloth?
I can try. There's not much of it. It looks like, I think it was from the cliff side, not the HUT side, but there's just like a few like grayish streaks on the lint-free paper.
it kind of looks more like a residue, and you think it's on the plus side. And do the O-rings look like they're fully intact?
O-rings do look like they're intact. It was really only a small amount when I, you know, then tried to look at it on the wipe again to take a picture. I can't even find it, so I'll have to look a little bit more closely. Not sure if I'll be able to get a picture or not.
Okay. Based on that and your descriptions, thanks for letting us know. We're go for you to continue proceeding, and then we'll take a look at the pictures afterwards, just to double-check everything. Copy, thumbs up. And airlock on two, we don't need you to install that cover since we're going to be putting a hut back there eventually.
Can airlock on two?
Go ahead on two.
Yeah, well, just making sure I'm interpreting this correctly. I was supposed to remove this label that says serial number 3013, the serial number of the hut. I'm supposed to take that off and put that on the new one and have its own serial number.
That's affirmative, Jessica. That will, so you've got it. Good copy.
Okay, copy.
And airlock Houston on two, no response required, but just a reminder that before you put the new hut on, you'll have to remove the PLIS protective cover. Copy, thumbs up. And airlock Houston on two for arm covers.
What?
Yep, and you may be getting to it, but for step 59, we're just asking that you take the upper arm covers that are on the hut that you're working with there and install those on the one that's going into the protective foam. Airlock Houston on two. It might be easier to have two people on this task to keep the puts in the hut stable.
Okay, copy. Thanks. Just got her on, but checking.
Houston, Chris on two for EPA gather.
Go ahead on two for EPA gather.
Sorry, for EPA gather. I had a question about the stone oats line number three.
Copy, stone oat line number three for the adapter table, if I'm looking at the same thing. Go ahead with the question.
Yeah, so I found that CTV, and in that CTV, I found a Ziploc labeled MISC IWIS cables. But in that Ziploc, there's only one cable, and it's a WIS strain gauge cable. I kept kind of searching through that CTV, and I found another Ziploc bag called the IWIS kit, parentheses programming, and I think I found the correct cable in there. It's the RS422 adapter cable, and it has a serial number of 1004, but it is sort of Velcroed and bundled up, with, and I wanted to double check on whether I should just take that one out. It looks like it's connected to another cable in here, the IWIS RSU programming cable. But I guess this last time I got used, somebody forgot to take it apart and stowed it all together, but I just wanted to double check that.
Okay, thanks for the attention to detail, Chris. Copy that in the bag that was supposed to be there, you found a cable that was a strain gauge, and then you did find the 1004 serial number, the RS422, but connected to another cable. Confirming down here, we do not need that other cable, so you can disconnect it, and that is the cable we're using for, the 1004 one.
Copy that. I'll disconnect the 1004. There's also a DB9 female-to-female adapter as part of that stack-up. Should I leave that adapter just hooked up to this programming cable?
A final answer. For now, you can go ahead and do that, and then if we need to change that answer, we'll come back to you.
Copy all, yeah. I think it's probably fine as long as you guys are tracking where everything is.
And Station Houston on two. For Chris, no response required. Just confirming you can leave that female-to-female adapter on that cable. You don't need to remove it, and we've made note and updated that down here.
Roger, Chris on two. I copied your last, so I will leave that female-to-female adapter on there and put that back in the programming kit bag back in the CCB. Thank you. Appreciate you guys looking that up.
And then when you're done with that, I did have a few other stow tasks for you. If you're still ahead, but I can wait until you've got a free time to chow those down.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great to me. I got to make one last spelunking trip into the PMM to get some stuff back back to where it came from, and I'll give you a call in a couple minutes.
Yeah, Station Jackson 2 for Warpatch.
And Munich is with you on 2. Go ahead.
Sir, I know you were working with Sophie earlier on some troubleshooting. Just want to make sure I've got your go to close the warp hatch.
For checking, we're going to have Jack do that. We'd like to have you work on the Node 1 hatch first. Yeah, Jack, just to clarify, we're going to have you do the skip the warp hatch and do the Node 1 hatch first on your timeline.
Okay, copy. And are we switching to 4 now, or do you need a few minutes?
So we're ready now, and so for that, for so 2.526, you've got a go for 2.1, and we're expecting it to be less than 1 minute of equalization time.
Copy, go in 2.1. Houston, Chris is back with you on 2 for those additional tasks.
Hey, Chris, thanks for checking. I've got two sets. The first one has to do with you guys had called earlier about an IMAC and a med kit and what to do with those. So I've got answers on both when you're ready to copy.
I am ready to copy.
I think it was Jessica who originally brought up the issues, but the first was IMAC serial number 1842, and you can discard that to common trash. And then associated with that, there was a med kit, and that can go into a staging bag that's in Node 3, Apt 5, Alpha 2, Locker, and it's a half CTB serial number 5094.
Okay, let me double check. I'm not. It's one of those blue like convenience medical kits. I'm not sure that'll fit in the 0.5 CTB, but I copied that IMAC 1482 can be common trashed.
Yeah, good copy on the IMAC. We will get you a better answer if it does not fit in that half CTB, and then I've got some other stowage stuff for you once you're done with that.
Yeah, just looking at that, I don't think there's any way that'll fit in a half CTB.
Okay, copy, Chris, that it won't fit in the half CTB. Will it fit in just the Node 3 F5 Alpha 2 locker, just the bag itself?
I believe that will easily fit in there, but I will double check.
Okay, that'd be great, Chris. If it fits in there, we can run with that plan, and if you could just label the bag expired so it's so no one mistakenly grabs it.
Copy. We'll put expired on it, and I think it will fit in Alpha 2. Houston, Chris on 2, that convenient med pack is just loose in Node 3 F5 Alpha 2 with expired written on it. I did talk to some of my crewmates when they had, the day that they had kind of gathered that one as well. A bunch of other similar packs went into one of the SpaceX return bags, if that's a helpful data point for a long-term solution for that guy.
Okay, thanks for that info, Chris. We'll note that and evaluate whether we want to consolidate that with the others.
Sounds good. Do you guys have anything more for me?
Or quick thing for you. Earlier in the day, Jessica had a crew note when she was doing the ASU inventory that you can consolidate the contents of a 1.0 CTB to a 0.5 CTB. We like that suggestion, so I can give you the serial numbers when you're ready to copy.
Ready to copy.
Okay, so it's in Lab 1, Overhead 3, Forward Storage. It's a 1.0 CTB 5567. And it sounds like that could be consolidated into a half CTB. So if you want to go ahead and just move the contents to a half CTB and then report down via crew notes or call down what that new serial number is, and you can just go back in the same location.
Copy. Can do. And while we're thinking about that area, we have a bunch of like warehouses of like dry wipes and that sort of thing currently on Node 2 Deck 3. And that Lab 1 Overhead 3 Forward area actually seems pretty empty, and we were thinking that maybe we could put some of those things that are kind of in the way in Node 2 up there. Wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Okay, copy. Thanks for the suggestion, Chris. That should work. So you're looking at moving some of the items from Node 2 Deck 3 to Lab 1 Overhead 3 Forward. You're welcome to do that, and then just report down the CTB serial numbers that you do relocate so we can make sure we update that.
It's an airlock on 2.
Go ahead on 2 for airlock.
Yeah, Roger, we're in step 107, so I've just snugged the inner connections, the inner screws on the interior, and I'm engaging the captive screws in the shim mount. And so it says to do that just 2 to 3 turns, and it says to report if there's any resistance or binding. It's not going super smooth, like it'll do like a little partial turn and then bind a little bit and then do another little partial turn, so I stopped because of what the if block says there. But I'm wondering if it's also because we backed out that nut all the way before starting, like it had me, you know, hands with my hands just bring the nut all the way down
so that it was backed off, and I'm wondering if that's why, but just wondering if you recommend loosening or continuing to try to tighten those. I'm on the lower shim mount.
Copy. Thanks for checking, Jessica. We'll talk it over here quick and copy your step 107 and getting about like a half turn and feeling some resistance, but then continuing. And thanks for the info on the having backed off the nut on the backside. Let's talk about it just a second.
Yeah, and a little bit more, like if I change the angle, you know, a little bit, then it would, you know, go again. But it just wasn't as clean as, like, just going in freely. Actually, now that I'm doing it with my hand, it is just going in freely.
Just confirm you said with your hand it is going in freely?
No, when I take a closer look, like, it's actually not in at all right now. So it's not engaged at all, so I would just suggest that I try it again and see if it binds or not, but I'll let you think about it for a minute. Raja, I think it is because, like, if I put pressure on the front of the DCM, then it goes, like, all the way into where it should be. So I think without front pressure, I'm not going to get that all the way in. I see in the if block there's, like, maybe torching the inner ones first.
Okay, copy. Thanks for the description. We're suspecting something's maybe slightly out of alignment, and that's why you're getting the resistance and just talking about options.
It's an airlock on 2. I don't think it's out of alignment because the top shim screw goes in very easily. I think it just requires a tiny bit of pressure pushing the DCM in order to fully line up the screw, and then it goes in easily.
Okay, copy that report, Jessica. Is it possible to grab, I'm not sure if Sophie already got into the thickness, but if she can help just maybe provide some of that pressure while you do the torquing.
I was actually able to do it myself. I just applied a little pressure, and then I could easily get the 2 to 3 turns in.
Glad we could help.
Yes, thank you. You're essential, Raja.
Hey, Nick, station. This is Jack on 2. Just checking back in with you about the wharf hatch cover, if you have any issues with me installing that now.
Hey, station. This is Munich on Space Program 2 for Jack and Astropy. Yes, you're good to proceed with the wharf hatch closer. Thank you.
Munich station copies. Thank you, Grandma.
Airlock on 2 for EVAs.
Go ahead on 2 for EVA.
I realize we stowed that other, I guess it was just this disk DCM part. We did not, I didn't show you the part that the thread that came off on this lower part, and it was, you know, we were talking about it being on the hut, but it's not, it's on the DCM side, so we can talk more about that later if you like.
Yeah, the works, I think if we can get a photo still, if you haven't already downloaded one, that'd help.
Houston, Chris, to Stowage.
Go ahead on 2 for Stowage.
Yeah, I did that consolidate, and then I also moved 3 additional 1.0 CTVs that were warehouse CTVs from node 2, decks 3 and 4 up there. I put the serials in a crew note on my pre-sleeve.
Appreciate all the help, and we'll grab the info from the crew note.
Houston, station Jackson 2 for my crew choice event in an hour.
2 for crew choice event.
Yeah, I got an email with the Teams link, and the timeline has a normal Gen Camera 1 with the microphone and stuff, so I'm just curious, am I confusing what's going on tonight? Which method are we using?
Okay, thanks for checking. Optimus is incorrect, and the email is correct, so go with the email.
All right, copy. Going with the email. Thanks for the clarification.
Airlock Houston on 2. We're back with you with the video. Just looking for an update on where you are stepwise, and pending that, we've got a check we'd like you to add potentially.
Okay, copy. I'm all done with all the connectors. I'm in 144, snapping the Velcro.
Copy. Thanks, and nice work. We did, based on the fact that you had to push on that connector earlier to get those torqued connectors between the DCM, we wanted to do a visual check for a gap, and I'll describe it to you. We unfortunately don't have a picture, but fortunately where that stitch broke is actually about the spot we would want you to look at. So let me know, and I can give you a little bit of talk on.
Hey, you know, I'm actually not worried about them at all because, you know, if you looked again at the procedure, it said that it helps to do the top one first, and I was doing the
it only said that after the step of starting, so it said that around the torque step, but when I did the top one first, it went in very easily, and then the bottom one also went in very easily. It was like the slightest amount of pressure on the DCM, so I'm really not worried about it at all, but I'm very happy to do your checks.
Copy. Thanks for the clarification on the second
attempt. I'll get some pictures of the shim bolts soon.
The other question was, when that stitch broke, do you think the any FOD, possible FOD for that stitch, was it contained in the fabric, or do you think any of that could have come loose?
The FOD I was talking about was just on this outer cover right here. There is a little thread there, so I think it just, I don't think there was any FOD, not that I saw.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for that. And we still would like you to visually check that, the area, and so I'll describe it to you, but basically it's kind of where that stitch came up. But you'll be looking up from the bottom of the suit, so underneath the TCV, near the O2 fill valve line, and what you're looking for is any visual gap between the HUT interface and the DCM interface. So where those two come together, specifically in that corner, if you can detect any gap, exactly the right angle.
Gap, and those screws also went in very easily and torqued down. So yeah, I don't think that there's any out of alignment or gap at all.
Okay, thanks for the checks, and thanks for confirming that you saw capped a piece of thread where that stitch came out. I appreciate the extra checks.
No worries. I've never done this before, so it was actually deeply satisfying. And I was telling my crewmates, these electrical connectors, the blue and yellow ones over here, are the most satisfying connectors ever. They're quite difficult to do, but then they give you the most audible, tangible, satisfying click.
Glad we could make connectors that were satisfying.
Well, that's only because I was able to get them on.
At Houston Station on 2 for Sophie, no response required, but if you do get to step 94 of STOTRAC, give us a call first. We've got some changes.
Sierra Lock on 2.
Go ahead on 2.
So, Raja, I was comparing where that stitch came off, and there is none on the other EMU. So I was just looking. Once it's all bundled up, it's all snapped to each other and velcroed to each other, and it seemed like there was a small stitch on this underside on this one. There is not on the other HUT, so it doesn't seem like that is actually even a necessary component.
Report and the comparison, Jessica, and that aligns with what the ground is agreeing with as well. So you velcroing it and snapping it all back in place should put us in a good config.
Houston Station, Sophium 2 for stowage.
For stowage.
Okay, so I just completed step 93. I understand you had some words for step 94. I probably won't have time to start step 94, but just so that you know, step 93 is complete. So we'll be happy to have your words like before the next cargo of step 2. Or maybe in the daily summary or whatever is most convenient for you.
All right, thanks for the report, Sophie, and we will make sure STOTRAC is updated by the time you guys are next in there so that it should be reflecting accurately where the locations are at for step 94.
Great. Thank you very much, Raja.
It's Houston. Chris on 2 for a quick Pluto question.
Go ahead on 2 for Pluto.
Sergey just dropped by, and we've been working on trying to get his SSC. SSC 1 is having problems printing and won't print, so they had thought it had worked once yesterday, but it's not working anymore. And so we're wondering if we could take another look at that. He's happy to be hands-off on it right now, if that's helpful.
Thanks for reporting that, Chris. Pluto said they can take another look at it. I'll follow back up if you need to be hands-off on it and when.
Okay, yep, copy off. Sergey's doing some ARED, so he will definitely be hands-off for the next bit.
On ARED, so hands-off for a while. Thanks. And Station Houston on 2 for printer update. No response required, but we're working the issue with the SSC1 printing. It's not actually the laptop problem. It's a print issue, so if we could have everyone on the board not try to print anything until we tell you otherwise.
Thanks for that update. Station copies, and we will pass that along to our colleagues.
And Station Houston on 2, no response required. We think we've resolved the... And Station Houston on 2, no response required. Just want to let you know that the printer queue issue should be solved so you can send things to the printer again.
Station copies. Go for printers. Thanks for the work on that.